Valenti, on the new GTOD program, and I'm here today to talk about basics. And I see a few faces here that actually could be giving the presentation, but I'll let it go. And I'm not going to be talking about launch, timeline, public comment, and any of the other discussions that are taking place at other sessions. This session here is really for people that know little to nothing about new GTODs and the new GTOD program. This session is going to be 30 minutes in English, approximately 30 minutes in English, following a Q&A. And then my colleague here, Shernan Osepa, who is the manager of regional relations for the Caribbean, is going to present exactly the same presentation in Spanish with a 15 minutes Q&A following. So we can start the recording. New GTOD program update. We are going to talk about an overview of the domain names, the GTOD timeline and the new GTOD program, why is ICANN doing this, the potential impact of this to businesses, governments, communities, the basics about the program, so who, when, what, how much, and where to get more information. And this last slide is actually particularly important because since this is still a program that is being developed, even though a lot of work has been done, there are still things that we are working on. It's very important that you keep yourself up to date of where we are. The internet is an evolving ecosystem, so all of you that have been using the internet or accompanying the internet in the past years, you know, are familiar with the evolution of it. And what's most important about it is how fast all of those things happen. Especially now, it seems that now things changes, new features or new uses of internet happen very faster, even faster. And the new GTOD program in this context is not something new that is happening from, you know, an innovation standpoint of the program itself, but is a platform for innovation. So right now we have social media applications and all kinds of things that are happening over the internet. And now moving towards the new GTOD program, we open a platform to potentially have even more of this innovation. The anatomy of a domain name. I know this is very basic information, but we are often, you know, asked. So you have third levels, you have second level domains, and we have first or top level domains. And usually, when we talk about opening the top level, when we're talking about the new GTOD program, we are talking about what is at the very end. I don't say anymore there's very end to the right or to the left because of the IDNs, but it's what is at the very end. When we look at new GTODs, you know, throughout time, we see that before ICANN, we had several extensions that are actually in use since then, and some of them very famous, actually. And this predate ICANN. Then in 2000, there was a round that introduced another set of TODs that you see on this timeline. In 2004, there was a round that introduced even more of them. Then in December 2005, the GNSO, the Generic Name Supporting Organization, one of the bodies of ICANN, that is actually made up of many different groups and interests, spent 2 years, since 2005 to 2007, working on a policy that actually serves as a foundation for the development work that we see today. It has a set of recommendations that say, you know, this is how we think the new GTOD program should, you know, be developed and all of the important things that it would take into consideration. The ICANN board approved the policy in June 2008. This was during an ICANN meeting in Paris. And then since there, we have several staff members working on different projects for this program, and a lot of this work you see reflected into a document called the Draft Applicant Guidebook. The Applicant Guidebook is a roadmap to the applicant. This is where the applicant will see what they need to do, how this program works, the timelines, you know, how much, and things like that. And the way we have been developing this applicant guidebook is, as it evolves, we share the guidebook or the drafts with the community. We get feedback. Then we, you know, enhance the guidebook. Then another round of comments from the general public, another round of considerations from the staff, etc. So it's an evolving product. So it's very important that you always look at the most recent applicant guidebook. Now, the most recent version of the applicant guidebook is called Proposed Final Applicant Guidebook, and we posted that in November 2010. This applicant guidebook is open for public comment, so basically you can look at the applicant guidebook and comment on a specific subject or section, or, you know, you could agree or disagree, you could suggest improvements, and we take those comments very seriously and take them into account. You could comment on, as I said, a specific subject or the program as a whole or the guidebook as a whole. One of the useful comments is our practical comments. You'll see, this is something that you could improve by doing ABC, or could you add clarity to that specific part of the applicant guidebook, you know, from an applicant perspective. These are, you know, interesting comments for us to make sure that the final product is actually good and, most importantly, useful to you. But it's not only the staff that works on this program, that works on the development of the program. We have a very complex program at our hands, very complex set of issues. And in order to address that, to do a design of this program, we rely on experts from this community that you see walking around here today. And a lot of those experts are part of groups that are reflected here in a soup of acronyms. So you see IRT, STI, and so forth. I'm not going to expand on what each of those acronyms means and what each of those groups has done, but we have that in our website if you're interested. But they have done quite an enormous amount of work, and they still do an enormous amount of work in certain areas that require expertise. In addition to that, so we have staff, you have community members that get together in various working groups and contribute. Then you also have experts, consultants, people that actually are hired by ICANN, paid by ICANN to develop a certain thing or a certain part or center area of the program. So the steps that would follow, you know, is the final guidebook, is a board approval of the final guidebook, and a communications campaign, which what this entitles is to make sure that people around the world are notified that there is a launch date, and the launch date or is going to be a launch period, right? It's going to have an opening date and a close date, and right now we're looking at a 90 days window for these applications to be launched. So this communications campaign will be clear about this is the day that this starts and you can apply, and this is the day that this ends. You know, this is the day that an objection period is going to start, so you have to, you know, watch out for, you know, basically critical deadlines if you are going to be part of this program. And also other application details. So once this communications campaign is done and the GNSO and others gave us guidelines to have a minimum of 4 months for this to take place. Now, of course, we produce the information, the materials, there's translations, and we need to make sure that the media around the world and governments, et cetera, know about that. So, you know, minimum 4 months is actually, you know, quite a tight period for all of the activities we need to do. But that's what takes place. And then we have the launch, which is the opening of the application period. I'm often asked, when are we going to know who applied for what? And once you have the application period closing, there is a window in which we staff look at all of the applications for completeness. are all the applications complete? Have you received all of the documents? Are we able to open everything that was provided? Has payment been received? You know, there's so many steps that go into this administrative check. And once this is done, we will have the information posted on our website, and you're going to know who is the applicant, what extension this applicant applied for, where is this applicant from, is this applicant claiming this TOD to be community or geographic name, what are the supporting documents this applicant is providing to actually back up that claim, etc. So this information is going to be displayed on our website. We are working on it right now. Once this information is displayed, you are going to see ongoing reporting on statuses of those applications. Terminology clarification. So GTOD stands for generic top-level domain. But when you look at explanatory memos, when you look at all of the different documents that the community or ICANN produces, sometimes you will see the term extension. Sometimes you'll see label, string, suffix, or all of them, means the top-level domain. So it's the series of characters that go, that make up your internet address, especially, at the end. You also have the country code top-level domain. So in this presentation, or the new GTOD program is not addressing the country code top-level domains, like, for example, in Colombia, the .co. The IDNs are the internationalized domain names that are represented by language characters, letters, and equivalents. So, for example, after the dot, you will see characters in Chinese or in Arabic or in Korean and so forth. Now, IDNs have existed for quite some time on the internet, on the second and third level. Registries, especially CCTODs around the world, have introduced IDNs at different times and points and support different languages. The launch or the use of the IDNs around the world really depends on each registry, so it's not like all of the registers around the world have to have IDNs or have to have a certain set of languages and characters, etc. It doesn't work this way. It's up to the registries to determine how this is done. The DNS or the domain name system is a very complex ecosystem, and I think this is probably a slide that is redundant here once you have been going through some of these meetings here. So, of course, you have ICANN. You have registrants, which could be individuals or companies that, own the domain name. They are the ones that register the domain name in GTODs or CCTODs and have to do ongoing renewals and so forth. You have registries, registrars, resellers. There's some development going on right now in which you're going to see some complexity and some changes in this landscape. But you see right now, this infrastructure. Then we have the GTOD registries. And this is where you have 21 or so registries or companies that are responsible for managing the domain name. Now, not necessarily selling the domain name, right? So if you buy a .com, nowadays you can buy a .com from a registrar or a reseller. So the company that you, as a registrant, interface with would not be VeriSign, who is the company that is responsible for the overall management of the .com. When we talk about the new GTOD program, we actually talk about impacting the GTOD registries landscape. So this is the number that is going to change from 21 to, an X number of registries that we don't know at this point. Here is just a high-level look at the root that ICANN manages. So on one side, you have here the GTODs. And with the new GTOD program, what you're going to see is an increase of number of registries or increase of number of extensions. And these extensions could be a number of things. It could be dot and then following a number of city, either spelled out or an acronym. You could see GIDNs, I don't really like that term, but has been used, so generic internationalized domain names, so dot and then something in you know, Korean characters. Dot brand is another way, so something in that, a brand that you know, a company name that you know. Dot generic, a dot community, so a community that could be represented by TOD, a region. I don't know what's happening, so. Okay. And then on the other side, you have the CCTOD. So as you can see right now, the CCTODs are very easily, you know, characterized by two characters, right? The GTODs here on the other side, you have X number of characters. But CCTOD is by two characters. And what you see is a change in the CCTOD landscape with another program that is called Fast Track. And this program, Fast Track, introduce IDN CCTODs. So sometimes there is confusion because people say, oh, we don't have to wait for the new GTOD program because we already have IDNs in the marketplace. Indeed, you have IDNs on the second level. You have IDNs on the third level for quite some time. With the Fast Track, you do have IDNs on the first level right now, but they are CC IDNs. And they were part, or they are part, because this process is still ongoing, but they are part of a different set of criteria and a process. So it's not like any company or any community or any government, you know, or government, no, but any company could apply for any kind of domain name. There are very specific rules about Fast Track. New GTOD is a little bit more open in terms of the criteria used, and also more flexible in terms of the number of characters that you can have. So what is a GTOD registry? I cannot stress enough an important point that when we talk about a GTOD program, we are talking about a business commitment. So if somebody is considering to be an applicant for a top-level domain, whoever it is needs to take into account that this is a business commitment. They have to run a registry. Running a registry requires knowledge, or very specific technical knowledge, requires to understand, you know, how things function, follow protocols, follow guidelines. And so it is quite a commitment and quite an undertake. It is not the same as registering a second level in which your responsibility is only about the website and content and then on the side, whatever business you run. This is by itself, you know, a huge time and also some financial commitment depending on the size of registry that you're planning on doing. Another good aspect or important aspect to it is that as a registry, you will sign an agreement with ICANN. And this is called base agreement or sometimes registry agreement, and you find this in the applicant guidebook. So take a look about the terms and conditions of this agreement because you have to basically fill that up. You have to, you know, follow all of the Just one second, please. We're having a little bit of a technical glitch. Moving forward, the new GTOD program. So the new GTOD program is this initiative to introduce an unlimited number of generic top-level domain names into the marketplace and is managed by ICANN. This program itself is managed by ICANN. Why are we expanding the top level? One of the arguments is to remove the existing limitations by the ASCII-only GTODs. Create the platform for the innovation in the industry and on the internet itself. open the doors for an increased choice and competition in the marketplace. You will find some of this in ICANN's mission. If you look at 1998 documents, some of the ICANN USA government agreements, the affirmation of commitments. So the reason this is there is just to remind people or let people know that this idea or this concept about new GTODs is not something that just started with the GNSO or, you know, the 2004 rounds. It's something that has been around as a concept for quite some time and is backed up by some official documents. Obviously, when we expand the top-level domain, there's going to be some kind of impact. The impact that is going to have on businesses, on users, and it's something that we are going to be able to better determine over time because this is determined by who's applying for what and what are the TLDs in the marketplace and how are they managed. But here are some potential impact in the marketplace for businesses, for example. Some businesses are looking at this as an opportunity for investment and as an opportunity to be a startup and boost the economy, hire people, you know, be part of this industry that you see here today. More choice and competition for the consumers that would be able maybe to choose different, you know, TODs to reflect their brands or to reflect whatever position they want to have on the internet, whatever they want to do on the internet. Sometimes when people go and try to register something under .com or some of the existing extensions, the domain name is already taken by somebody else because domain names are not like trademarks. Trademarks, people in different industries can coexist and register and be legitimate and function in the space. But in the domain name is unique. So once you register that domain name, you know, nobody else can register the domain name under that specific extension. Also, competition, when we talk about competition, we talk about, you know, competition from registry standpoint. So, you know, have more registries from other regions of the world. Nowadays, if you take a look of the about the GTODs and who are the registries that manage those GTODs, you will see that a great majority of them is in the U.S. We have few in Europe. We have one in Asia. But we hope that with the new GTOD program, there's more applicants and more registries in the future from other regions around the world, so we have also this geographic cultural diversity reflected in our community. Platform for innovation, new business model opportunities. Obviously, this is going to impact brand management and online practices. So regardless of whether or not a trademark owner or a brand owner wants to be an applicant in the new GTOD program, I don't believe there's an opt-out. You have to be aware of this, what this program means and how this program can potentially impact your trademark or your brand in the future. Maybe, you know, you need to monitor for objection purposes or you need to monitor to understand what your competitors are doing, or there's all kinds of different branding and trademark protection practices that might come out of it if we implement some of the models and when we implement some of the models that are right now on the table. So this is something that trademark and brand owners need to prepare, need to get educated and prepare for. Impact on industry sectors. We see sometimes industries talking, you know, competitors talking to each other and looking at ways that maybe they could come together, you know, and form a corporation or form a partnership to apply for a TOD and maybe do something in the industry. We also talk about companies or industries that look at security by owning a registry. Maybe in the financial sector it would be interesting because this registry could implement certain security measures that nowadays you don't have because you have have the registry and the registrars and then the owner of the domain name. And if you think about all kinds of different cyber squatting or different malicious conduct issues that happen on the internet, you have several vulnerability points. So some industries are looking at this as saying, wait, if I own the registry, I can actually really have a very tight security around my TOD, and that would benefit my users. Control is the same kind of issue. Right nowadays, if you buy your domain name from a reseller, and this reseller actually has a partnership with the registrar with the registry, etc., so your domain name actually goes through different hands, and some people also think that it would be better if they manage themselves. They have full control over that TOD. Impact on user behavior, right? Imagine, for example, if a brand nowadays operates under a .com or under .asia, under .org, and in the future they opt for having a top-level domain, they will need to educate that user about this change and recognizing the company or the site is legitimate or that address is legitimate. Another thing that is going to happen is upgrading systems applications to accept new GTODs. So this was one of the points that was the lessons learned from a previous round. Usually, as I explained to you, we had the CCTOD that was 2 characters. The GTODs were 3 characters. So some systems were developed to read, you know, your email address, for example, Carla at ICANN.org. So .org is 3 characters, and my system reads that correctly because it's fine, it's 3 characters, or because the system had already preset number of TODs that they could identify and say, yes, this is a legitimate address. But in the future, as we have new GTODs, some systems might need to be upgraded. And just to give an example, what happens in practice is that, say that I have an email address, Carla at something something dot, and then maybe a large, you know, extension with many characters or maybe IDN characters. And I'm trying to fill out a form on the internet, and I give this email address, and the system says, no, there is an error. This email address doesn't exist. Well, you know, there's might be nothing wrong with the registry itself or with my email address, but with the system that I'm using that simply does not recognize that the top level has a different set of characters or number of characters. So this is something that the technical industry might be facing and you know, need to take some action on. Impact on governments and communities. And again, this really depends on the TODs that we have, but one of the things we could expect, at least from what people discuss around, you know, this kind of meetings and other outreach opportunities that we have, is that there might be an increase in cultural, linguistic, and geographic communities, a more globally and culturally inclusive internet and IDNs, and we see that in a very high number of registrations that is happening with Fast Track. There's going to be an impact, potential impact on local CCTODs, impact on geographic names. Who can apply? It's important to stress that this application is not for individuals, it's for organizations, for companies, entities. So you have to be established. And the entity can be established anywhere in the world, but this entity or any applicant will need to follow a predefined criteria and requirements as they are outlined in the applicant guidebook. And I cannot stress enough to say that this is a business commitment. It's not like apply for a second level. How to apply? We are going to have an online registration system that is called nowadays TAS. TAS stands for TOD Application System. You will be able to access the system from the ICANN website. We are not sure right now where on the site it will reside, but we're looking at having this secure system that you as an applicant would register. You have to pay a fee for registering, and then once you enter, you can lodge all of your information. So the questions that you see in the guidebook are going to be there, and you're going to have a text box that you can answer the questions. You can attach the supporting documents that we ask for it. You would be able to access customer support, and we will have more details about what kind of customer support we're going to have and how it will work in the future. So all of the information, all of your application is going to be in the system, and the evaluators are also going to access the system and provide the reports and evaluation statuses and so forth. So it's really, you know, a system that will serve the whole life cycle of an application. The process is in English for now, even though you see the applicant guidebook translated in the six United Nations languages and a lot of the supporting materials also in many languages. The program itself is in English. And what I mean by that is that once you log into the system, the questions will be asked in English. You will be answering them in English. We will accept some documents in other languages because we have evaluators and others with the capability to look at them. But overall, you will sign an agreement with ICANN, assuming that your application is successful. This agreement will be signed in English. And again, pay attention to critical deadlines because once, for example, the application period closes, the system will shut down and you're not going to be able to access the system if you want to apply. If you're an applicant, you will have your special user ID and password, etc., and you will access the system to, you know, follow up on your application, but not new applications will be accepted after the application period closes. When can you apply? So the board has made a resolution not long ago and posted a working plan. In this working plan, one of the scenarios is to open the application period in May next year, Q2 next year. So this working plan was designed based on our what we need to do to be operationally ready for launch, you know, and looking at this portion. Now, there's other discussions that are taking place at ICANN and other issues that are being addressed which can influence that working plan and change that launch date. So I just want to, you know, make sure that this is clear, that, you know, we work towards something. We, of course, have to do the planning and the system development, etc., looking at a certain date in mind, as any project management would be, but there's many important issues that we are working with the community to address that can influence what happens there. Also, we are going to have an official communications campaign. ICANN is going to say on its website officially when is the application period, when it starts and when it ends. What do I need to apply? Review the applicant guidebook for the details. It's very important that you study the guidebook, and we'll give you opportunities to ask questions once we advance in this program. It's very important, however, that you look at the strategic third parties or strategic partnerships that you need right now, not when an application starts. By the way, even for the application, you should be looking right now because there's a lot of things that you need to get together in order to apply that is not something that you would do overnight. It takes time to prepare. But the strategic partnerships is very important. It's very important that you keep in mind. We are going to have tomorrow a session that is called Getting Ready. And what the session is going to do is we have different people from the community that are going to speak about the practical aspects for applying, for example, for a geographic name or a community or TOD. Why? Because if you want to apply for a geographic name or a community TOD, you need to make sure that your respective government, you know, is okay with that. You need to make sure that your community is okay with that and they provide the documents that support you as an applicant. And this kind of relationship building takes time. You know, it's not just going and knocking at the door of some government and say, hi, I just want to apply for DOT and then a geographic name. What? Who are you? Why are you doing that? You know, it's really takes a lot of time. So everything has to be reviewed now, and strategies need to be defined now. And keep in mind always the deadlines, please. And it's not only the deadlines to apply, but it's also the deadlines to object and, you know, other things that we are going to have. How much? So the application or the valuation fee is $185,000. It's paid to ICANN. Yes, we have refunds, and when you look at the application guidebook, you will see in what situations this refunds apply. There's other fees that may apply, and that those fees might not be paid to ICANN. So, for example, if your application takes a straightforward path, it's $185,000, but if you're caught in string contention and some other things that the program has, there's additional fees. And there's a very important aspect that there's registry fees. So if you become a registry, you have an ongoing financial commitment with ICANN that is a $25,000 annual fee. And there's also a transaction fee that only applies after a certain volume of registrations, but this transaction fee exists. So be careful about all of those fees, and keep in mind that, of course, in addition to those fees, there is the costs of, you know, establishing a registry, the partnerships, putting together operations, hiring people to manage things, hiring people, you know, that could help with application and other things like that. So it's all of the startup infrastructural costs that is something that I don't talk in this particular presentation and talk here, because it really depends on what is your vision for the registry. Are you a registry that plans on being a, you know, a big global registry like .com or .org, or you are a registry that is going to serve a community that has a defined number, or you're a registry that is not planning to actually doing domain name registrations, but it's going to be for information purposes. So different business models will require different kinds of infrastructure, and, of course, there is a cost associated to that. The evaluation process at a glance. I'm not going to be giving the details about the evaluation process because it is complex. And as I said, we will have sessions in the future that will explain step by step each criteria, and you will be able to answer, to ask, you know, specific questions about each one of those stages. But you have the application period, there is an initial evaluation, and then if this is a straightforward application, it goes to delegation. Transition to delegation is when you sign a contract with ICANN and the TOD is delegated to the root. And then after that, the registries determine when and how they introduce the TOD into the marketplace. This is a business decision. This is not a decision that ICANN makes on behalf of future registries. Now, if your TOD happens to be, for example, similar or identical to another applicant, we have a process that is called string contention. And depending on how this application is and what it is, like community versus, you know, an open application, et cetera, there's different ways that we are resolving that string contention. And objection and dispute resolution, extended evaluation, so those are different paths. So either one or a combination of those may apply to some application. And if this happens, it influences the time that is going to take for this application to reach, or maybe not reach, a transition to delegation step, and the costs of this application. So there is some risk analysis that you need to do and prepare and set aside some money, you know, taking into account all of these different variables that an application can take. And there's no way of knowing, you know, which path and how much at this point, because you don't know who's going to apply for what. Straightforward evaluation. So here you have just a list of, on the initial evaluation, what is the things that are taking into account when you have the transition to delegation, what happens in this specific stage. So the applicant guidebook has all of that flashed in details. Variables in the application. So if you have an extended evaluation, we are going to, you know, give a second look on the technical, operational, financial, geographic names and registry services. So some information, something you provided there, needs a further clarification, needs further evaluation. There's a cost associated to having this additional step, because we're also going to be dealing with expert evaluators. By the way, all of those evaluation steps, or large number of them, we actually are retaining third parties to do that. So, for example, ICANN is not going to run an auction. Somebody else is. Of course, partnering with ICANN, and ICANN is going to overlook what is being done. But we have experts in different areas that are going to be taking care of the different stages of the evaluation. Objection and dispute resolution is also something that ICANN as an organization is not going to process itself. You have here string contention, legal rights, morality and public order, community objection, which are the foregrounds, and we have retained organizations that are actually expert in these areas, and if you want to object to a certain TOD or certain applicant, you need to see in the applicant guidebook what are the grounds for objection and whether or not you qualify for that, and then what is the organization that is handling that particular objection, and then you file the objection with this organization. So, you know, it's very important to take a look at the guidelines and the costs and all of the strategy that comes with that. String contention is another complex process in which we have two different ways of dealing with string contention. In very simple terms, string contention is when we look at two or more applicants and they have either identical strings or strings that are similar. You know, look at from the ICANN standpoint and evaluator standpoint. If you have applicants that qualify equally, you know, in terms of their financial capability, operational capability, and meet all of the other criteria that we have outlined in the guidebook, how are we going to decide which applicant will get the TOD? So we had to design a process that would be fair in deciding, you know, who could get this TOD, all things equal on the first or initial evaluation. So again, this is the part that is you have to be very careful about and plan for the additional fees and plan for additional processing time. These are the grounds for objection. I'm not going to extend too much on that. We will have different sessions that will be more specific to what each one means and how, you know, each one is going to work. What should you know now? Evaluate the new GTOD program if it's something for you. Review the applicant guidebook, get educated about the registry business, about the DNS business, understand what is needed to get ready. If you choose not to apply, if you're trademark owner, brand owner, you're not off the hook. Unfortunately, it's something that you will have to you have to understand, and you have to see what is the impact on your trademark or your brand protection practices. There's going to be also an impact on community and geographic names. You need to understand your consumers, how they are going to behave or how they're going to respond to new TODs. You need to look at different industry trends that might be shaping up. Look at the changes on the internet. So are we going to see different ways that people use the internet or behave or find information on the internet? And depend on the products and services that you are in, you might want to adjust your strategy, your online branding or marketing strategy to what is going on in the marketplace. So it's very hard. Even if you're not an applicant, you still need to be aware, you know, about what are the implications of this program depending on who applies for what. Do not miss, so Monday I already missed that one, but we had two sessions, overarching issue sessions, new GTOD recommendation 6, and we have also a status session that is not listed here that was important. So on Monday, take a look at the calendar, and if you missed those sessions, no worries. We have transcripts and we have recording there, so go, listen. We also posted the presentations, so take a look at the presentations. The new GTOD Basics is the session that you are in now that is going to follow in Spanish. The Getting Ready session is tomorrow. So if you can, please take come and see the session. We're going to be talking about the geographic names, community-based applications, IDNs, strategic partnerships. You know, what do you need to do right now to get ready? What kind of things you need to consider? And we have, you know, consultants in this industry, people that are actually trying to apply and going through this process, and they can tell you some of the do's and don'ts, you know, some of the best practices. And I'm hoping also to have attendees with expertise, and we can exchange ideas and we can exchange tips on how to deal with that very specific types of applications. And then there's on Thursday, there's another one, another session that is new GTOD related that is called Assisting GTOD Applicants from Developing Economies. This is one of the many works that is being done, but one of the initiatives that is going right now, one group is looking at the applicants from developing economies that might not have the resources to, you know, participate in this program by themselves and could use, you know, some help. So this is not a program that is developed yet. This is an initiative by the working group that is, you know, basically proposing to ICANN to do something. And they are going to be talking specifics about that proposal in the session, and maybe you want to be involved in something like that. For more information, monitor our ICANN's website, the new GTOD pages in particular, where you find the applicant guidebook and other documents that you might be interested in. Please, please participate in the public comments. It's very important that we hear from you, especially at those final, you know, stages of development. We want to put out there, we know that perfection is an impossible thing to aim, but we do aim to have the best product that we possibly can out there, and it's very helpful if you participate. And you can also write to ICANN, and this is an email address. Any questions? Yes, please. Could you?
I'm running a bit out, but you can understand. I'm running a bit out of time, but you can understand.
Okay. Could you please say your name and identify yourself for the record?
Okay. Camila Santamaria from the Colombian Coffee Growers Federation.
Hola.
Hola. I was wondering, I don't know if I didn't have it clear, but after you apply, is there some kind of security for you to know that not another person has filed? I'm going to put an example to make it clear. For example, if I file for candy, I didn't want to put the example so clear, but let's say, but I file for .coffee, and then afterwards someone files for .café. That's the same one, but in Spanish. What is my security that it's going to be denied ex officio, or do I have to be all the time looking at the applications to know that they haven't filed for it?
Yeah, so the string contention is the part of the process that mm-hmm. looks at this. But what they look at is whether or not it's visually different. Or visually similar, actually. Mm-hmm. You know, so .café and .coffee, I don't know how the panel would look into this, how they would decide.
But if I would file an opposition or objection, however you would call it, if I put in my argumentations why I believe that it should be denied, would that be taken into account as an additional...
In one of our objection processes?
Yeah. Like a third party, for example, the Federación, for example,
yeah.
If it has filed for the .coffee and then someone else files for the .café, could, for example, the Federation file an opposition or an objection, or everything is done directly by you?
So we have the string contention process
yeah.
that looks into situations like that,
uh-huh.
right? The objection process has something, but it's not quite designed for this kind of situation. You also have to take into account a community application versus mm-hmm. how you're spelling mm-hmm. the thing. So there's different... I have to take a look at the strings, you know, and then point to you in the applicant guidebook all the different things that can happen in the mm-hmm. application for that specific example.
Okay. Yes, because if it were as if it is for trademarks, you know, the protection for your right is much more.
Yeah, and others have raised the issue as well. Mm-hmm. So, for example, even for existing TODs or new TODs, if you apply for something and then there's a similar in Chinese or there's a similar mm-hmm. in any other language, why could not this applicant be the one that actually either owns or has some rights to, mm-hmm. you know, all of the translations or transliterations of that specific TOD. Mm-hmm. And we've been discussing that quite a lot, and I know there is a process that we have within the applicant guidebook or the program that addresses some of the issue, not at the full extent that, you know, some people have argued that that should be addressed.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But we look at each application as being unique. As it stands now, it's being unique. So
mm-hmm.
If you apply for .coffee, you mm-hmm. are looked at as a single applicant with no specific additional rights for .cafe or mm-hmm. any variable in this round.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
Hi, Paolo Signorenda from Malawi. Can you clarify if there is a list for a reserved list for exemptions in this process for geographic names?
So we have two things. We have a list of reserved names, and there's a lot of infrastructural technical names on this list, and you see that in the applicant guidebook. And then for geographic names, there are very specific rules that apply for geographic names. Some things not anyone can apply for, like, for example, capital names, you know, or we use some specific lists. So two different things, the reserved names and then the specific exceptions or the specific process that one has to go through if applying for a geographic name. Okay. Any other question? Okay, so thank you very much. And now I pass the mic to Shernan to do the presentation in Spanish. Thank you.
Buenas tardes.
Good afternoon. We need to wait like a minute approximately.
Okay, vamos a empezar.
All right, we're going to start. I am from ICANN for the Caribbean area. And I would like to present you a new extensions on the internet. There is a slight problem right here, so I hope it can be solved as soon as possible.
It's very inconvenient for me to do like this. Okay, vamos a...
All right, we're going to try to solve this then.
Spanish? No, it's... I cannot present like this. It's...
All you need to do is down...
This is you guys running this?
This is Corey, I think, yeah.
Because I can't, I can ask him.
Christopher?
I can just start that.
Yeah, okay.
This is all technology, so I hope this can solve it.
Okay, buenas tardes. Otra.
Good afternoon to you all again. Now it's Freddy. I'm Fernando Alcepa. I'm from ICANN for the Caribbean area, and I would like to present new GTLD extensions on the internet. We're going to talk about a little bit about the general vision of domain names, the top-level domain generic program, and new GTLD programs. Second point is why ICANN is doing this. We're going to discuss this a little bit. We're going to talk about possible impacts for businesses, governments, and also for the internet community. And finally, we will see where we can obtain information and who is this program designed for. The internet is an ecosystem in evolution. Since 1969 to the present, we have seen many developments in the internet world. We have seen, for example, ARPANET, in 1972, email, the World Wide Web, a system for browsing the web, the internet, and in the 1990s, we have seen many developments, connectivity developments, internet developments, up to using blogs online. And during this season, in the year 2000, for example, we have also seen many other developments. We still don't know what is going to happen in the short time. However, we do know there are many developments in that area. Alrighty. I'm going to elaborate a little bit on the anatomy of a domain name. Basically, when we are talking about a domain name, for example, we can split this into, for example, what we're seeing here, www.meetings.icann.org. The third level is what we, in this case, okay, so in this case, meetings is the third level. Second level, in this example, is ICANN. And the top level is ORG. Basically, we are talking about new domain names, and therefore, we focus on this top level, or first level. Therefore, all of this presentation is going to discuss the top level. Some clarifications. GTLD means a generic top-level domain. There are also other definitions like extensions, labels, strings, suffixes, etc., etc. And there is also a string that actually is part of the internet address. There are outside GTLDs like .com, .org, and they are all GTLDs. There are also CCTLDs, country codes, top-level domain names. For example, in the case of Colombia, that's .co, the Netherlands is .nl, etc. And there are also IDNs, international domain names. This type of domains does not use ASCII characters, Latin characters, but actually it does use other type of characters such as Chinese, Korean, or Arabic, etc. The top level, at the root level, there are around 21 domain names, top-level domain names, such as .org, .com, .edu, .museum, etc. At the country level, there are also others, such as CO for Colombia, JM for Jamaica, DB for Tuvalu, etc. And this program for new top-level domains is focused on names using other kinds of characters, which may be any kinds of characters, Latin characters and also IDNs. So I am going to discuss the domain name systems, the DNS. It is a very complex ecosystem. I have a few definitions here. A registrant is simply a person who is registered, a user, you or me, for example. When we are talking about registry, for example, in the case of Colombia, there is a registrar that manages all of these databases with all the .COs. We also have resellers. These are the people who sell services, for example, in the case of .co, or other kinds of ccTLDs or gTLDs. ICANN, for example, has a relationship with the gTLDs. They need to be accredited, and this is also the way we can provide the service to the community. What is a gTLD registry then? It's a business with very specific technical requirements, and basically it is not a group, how we say, but it actually has to be a company or an organization that is serious and works on these processes. It also needs to have a mandatory agreement with ICANN, and this agreement then is mandatory and it cannot be voluntary, therefore. It is the master database, so we manage the master database, and it is the authoritative database to register each single top-level domain. And basically, it maintains the master database so one can browse the internet. Today, there are different registrars that we can use to provide with an internet service. Regarding the new gTLD program, this is an initiative that will allow for the introduction of top-level domains or extensions, both ASCII's. When we say ASCII, we mean 0 to 9 and from A to Z, and internationalized top-level domains. These are characters that use other, or names actually, that use other kinds of characters, such as Chinese, Korean, Arabic, etc. and this initiative is managed by ICANN. Before ICANN, in 1998, there were a few domain names such as .com, .edu, .gov. And beginning into the year 2000, we have seen a few new domain names such as Aero, Biz, Cope, Info Museum. And since 2004, we have also seen the ones that you can see here, there on the screen. ICANN's board in the year 2008 approved what we call the preliminary version or the draft version for the applicant guidebook. In this document, there is the information that we need so that we can apply for new domain names. This is a process, an ongoing process. There are a few versions about this program, but we believe that in May 2011, the community will be able to apply for new domain names. Why to expand the top-level domain? There are a few advantages to this. For example, the first one is to eliminate limitations existing in top-level domains, or GTLDs, so that because ASCII does not reflect the reality and the increasing needs of the internet. There is a lot of people around the world, and basically the English language is the dominant language. But it is almost a crime that other people are not allowed to use the internet because they do not speak English. So these are all advantages on new domain names, creating a platform for innovations in the industry and on the internet, and opening the doors to increase election and competition in the market. These are all reasons for expanding the top-level domain. In ICANN's missions, there are also some passages focused on this issue. The relationship with ICANN and the US government, all of this is included in ICANN's mission, and the affirmation of commitments of ICANN is also there. This is basically what ICANN has to do, and we don't really have any other option there. Possible impacts for businesses, investment opportunities. If you have a good idea, of course, you should be able to implement it, and this is a business opportunity. Greater possibility to choose and more competition. This, as I said before, is a platform for innovations and opportunities for new business models, trademark management, and there are basically many advantages for businesses. Possible impact for governments and communities. And there should be an increase in cultural, linguistic, and geographic as online communities. In Latin America, as well as in other parts in the world, there are cultures that don't use ASCII characters. And therefore, the possibility to choose new domain names is a unique opportunity, so they should be able to use this. a more inclusive internet at the international and cultural level with international domain names. And finally, geographical names, for example, Latin America or the Caribbean. At this time, it's not possible to apply for domain names using, for example, the Caribbean or Latin America, but with this new program, the possibility will be there for us to take it and to make these requests. A possible impact for the users, of course, more innovation, competition, possibility to choose. And I have also talked about cultural, linguistic, and geographical communities online, and new ways to find information in the mother tongue. Who can apply for this? Basically, entities from any part in the world, but these should be businesses and not individuals. This is a business commitment that will become a registry, so this is not something to make jokes about, but actually something very serious. It's a way to start a business with the new domain names. How to apply for it? Online? Unfortunately, only at the time we only accept requests in English, and this is really unfortunate, as I said, because we are talking here about new domain names, and there is sort of a contradiction, but that's the reality at the time. When can I apply for it? Since from May 2011 on, we will be able to apply new domain names. And what do I need to submit an application? There is an applicant guideline that is online, and you can obtain all the information that you need. My colleague Carla Valente is the director of this program. She has all of this information, and as I said, I am in charge of the Caribbean area, and I am trying to explain basically what is necessary, and of course to review the terms, the deadlines. How much does it cost? This is very important. The evaluation fee is 185,000 US dollars. This amount has to be paid to ICANN. There are a few cases where you can ask for a reimbursement, a refund. Carla will provide you with more information on this because she works every day with this program. And you can also apply, fees may be applied, as my colleague has said just now. There are also continuous fees, such as annual fees, amounting to 25,000 US dollars per transaction, and 20 cents US per transaction. We're going to talk now about the evaluation process. It's a bit of a complicated process. We're going to have some presentations dealing with this topic. And so I actually just want to say that we're going to deal with this issue, and I ask that you be patient so you can obtain the right information. So I am not going to focus on this process because there is a complete presentation, full presentation, and directed presentation on this issue.
Needless to say that we have some details, but I would like to move toward the end regarding the grounds for objection. Basically, there are four grounds for objections. The first one is when the strings are confused or similar, so we need to avoid any confusion with regards to the user. Also, infringements to laws or to rights regarding, for example, intellectual property law and legal aspects, also morality and public order. It depends. This will vary according to the country because there is not a standard applicable to every country. But still, this is something to take into account. The possibility is there if there are things that the government may object. You may also take into account these grounds for objection, and also objections from the community. For example, based on the geographic, if you have disputes or litigations between a community regarding the domain name or native organizations or religious organizations, for example. And what do I need to do now? How to proceed? Well, the first step is to evaluate or assess if the program of new GTLD is fit for me. And if it's not, it's just not for you. So then just consult and review the applicant's guidebook, where all the information about the program are available, and also educate and be trained about the registration business and the industry, because it is a business. I mean, it is not just trying to do something, but it's a serious business. So you need to be trained, educated on the registration business and the industry related to that business in order to, you know, have all the appropriate information to handle this registration. And also understand what it takes to be ready. And basically, if I choose not to file the application, maybe you may say, well, I've read everything, but finally I do not want to file the application. I don't feel like doing it. You're absolutely entitled to do so, but still there are some information that you have, for example, regarding the impact on brands and trademarks, and the impact on the community and the possible trends of the industry and competitors' actions, behaviors of users, internet changes. So if you decide not to pursue or not to continue with the application, you are absolutely entitled to do so, but have all the appropriate information in case you decide to apply in the future. For further information, I have my colleague Carla Valente. She is an expert on this program, and as I said, it's also the website on the transparency of ICANN's website, and for the new GTLDs, please write to newgtld@icann.org. And as I said, unfortunately, the whole material is only available in English, so you need to apply in English only. But hopefully in the next future we will have we will try to do something about it. Well, basically that is the information that we have available to share with you. And I look forward I don't know if it's going to be this week but we're going to have some sessions regarding the process and the stages of the process, where you will be able to obtain all the necessary information. Thank you very much.
Si hay pregunta.
If you have questions, please feel free to make the questions. Carla is ready to answer to those questions. No questions. So we are very tired. Thank you very much for your attention.